Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching was recorded at our 2011 New England Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's turn back over to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. This is what I've been teaching on all weekend. And this is what Moses spoke to the children of Israel, inspired by the Lord. It says, "Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Hebron, and his land. Begin to possess it." And I've already covered all of that. And tonight I want to talk about contend with him in battle. And again, if you've missed any of this, I encourage you to get all of the teachings, because this verse just has a lot of the elements of the Christian life in it, things that you need to put it all together in order to really have the power of God operate in your life. But when it says here that you have to contend with him in battle, remember that this is after he said, "I've already given him into your hand." And yet, there were still things that you had to do. We have to believe that God has already given us the victory, but then fight to enforce that victory. To me, it's similar to the police. You know, they already have laws passed and the government is behind them and they have this authority, but sometimes people rebel at that authority and you've got to go out and subdue people and bring them under the control and enforce these laws that are written. God has already provided everything for us and made provision, but we have to enforce it. Satan is not abiding by the rules. He is coming against you, and it's illegal what he's doing, but you have to stand up and contend with him. And again, the average Christian is not taking his authority, but instead, when problems come their way, they go to the Lord and cry out to him and ask God to intervene. And, "Oh God, please get the devil off my back. Please heal me of this. Please bless me financially or emotionally or whatever," instead of taking what God has already put on the inside of us and using it and making it come to pass. And this is what he's saying, that he's already given Sihon into his hand. Now you begin to possess it and you contend with him in battle. You had to go out and fight a battle, but the outcome of the battle was never in question. God had already blessed it. God has already given us authority over the devil, but that doesn't mean that the devil is going to automatically abide by that. He will try and depress you, discourage you, and put sickness, disease, poverty, etc. And you've got to contend with him in order to see this victory come to pass. And if you go look this word contend up in the Hebrew, the exact word that is translated contend, the literal definition of this is to be angry. And here's a point that I want to try and get across tonight, and that is that God is the one who gave us our temper. Now that needs some qualification, because God did not give you your temper the way you use it necessarily. But think about this. Every person has the ability to get angry. Every person, it doesn't matter who they are, they've got a temper. Every one of us have this ability. And we nearly always look at a temper as being bad because it's nearly always used incorrectly. But did you know that the Scripture actually commands us to hate? It commands us to be angry. The beginning of wisdom is to hate evil. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, "Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." And again, our society, it's just amazing how messed up things are getting and how far off balance everything is getting. And it's getting to where, you know, that people say you shouldn't hate anything or anybody. There's things you should absolutely hate. The Scripture gives us commands. Abhor that which is evil. As a matter of fact, look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me share a verse with you that this will be a total about face from the way most people read this verse. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know how most people interpret that? Is that God knows that all of us are flesh and we make mistakes and sometimes you lose your temper and you're going to blow it and you're going to get mad, and it's not sin unless you let the sun set on your wrath. In other words, just get over it. Get it confessed. Never go to bed with anger in your heart. Don't let the sun set on your wrath, and as long as you get it confessed in a relatively short period of time, it's not sin. That is not what this verse is saying. This is not saying that it's okay to be angry during daylight hours, but not during night. You know what this is talking about? Be angry. It's a command. Be angry and don't sin. It's not sin to be angry. There is a righteous type of anger, like Romans 12:9. Abhor that which is evil. In Proverbs chapter 6, the beginning of wisdom is to hate evil. There are things that God wants you to hate. There's nothing wrong with that. And when it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, that's saying don't ever let it go dormant. Don't ever let it fall asleep. Don't ever become passive. You need to keep yourself stirred up. You need to get angry in a righteous way and not ever let that anger go down. You need to keep yourself stirred up and angry and mad at the devil. Now, the key here is that you aren't angry at people. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our fight isn't with people. It's not people that make you angry. The devil is the one who we're really contending with, and it's okay to be mad at the devil. You know, back way, way back, this is 40-something years ago, I was in a church and saying stuff like this about you need to get angry at the devil and you need to put your foot down and just refuse for the devil to do things to you. And I had the pastor come up after the service and he says, we don't talk to anyone that way, not even to the devil. And I said, that's your problem right there. Really, we've got... I'm not going to get off and stay on this. I just want to say this quickly and go on, because I could get political here and do all kinds of things. But we have a pacifist mentality that has entered into the body of Christ to where really you shouldn't be angry at anything or anybody, and let's all just coexist. Let's all just get along together. Jamie read something in the paper today, I think it was, or I forgot where she was reading, but she read something in 1928. They signed some agreement. Where was it? In Paris. They signed an agreement that never again would there be war. War was outlawed and nobody could ever solve their differences with war. You know, that's dumb as a rock. It wasn't long after that until World War II broke out. And you know what? If people hadn't have stood up against evil and have fought for what our freedoms were, we'd all be speaking German today. Now, I'm not saying that war is a good thing. It's a result of the fall. But did you know what? Sometimes war is better than the alternative. I don't think that fighting and anger with people is the best thing, but sometimes it's better than the alternative. If you truly love someone, you have to hate whatever is destroying that person's life. You know, if I truly love Jamie, and yet we were walking, if we walked out of here and somebody tried to mug Jamie and take her purse or rape her or abuse her or do something, and I said, well, I just love everybody and I would never do anything. That's wrong. I don't go out and seek problems, but I guarantee you if somebody tried to mess with Jamie, I'm going to fight them to the death. One of the things that is allowing evil to escalate in our world today is the fact that people, even Christians, have become so passive that we just don't think anything is worth fighting about. That's not it. You know, I've thought this 1,000 times. You never know exactly what you're going to do until something happens. But I've had a friend that over in England on the subways, two kids met him with knives and robbed him of his wallet and his watch and everything he had and stuff. And he came to the meetings and told us about it. and stuff. And, you know, I'm not, you know, you never know, I guess, until it happens. But I've often thought about this, that one of the reasons that people are able to do stuff like that is because people are so passive. We've been taught to be passive. Do you remember in 9/11, the reason that they were able to crash those planes, those two planes into the Twin Towers and then into the Pentagon, is because people had just been taught, don't ever fight, don't ever resist, don't ever do anything. If somebody's going to hijack a plane, let them have it. And because of it, people with box cutters got on a plane and hijacked a plane with hundreds of people on it. If people would have been resistant and a little bit more militant, that never would have happened. And to prove it, flight number 93, after they figured out that this was a suicide mission, the people rose up and sure enough, that plane crashed. But did you know that they stopped that thing? And the, what is it, the tennis shoe bomber and the underwear bomber and all of these other things. There's a different attitude, and because of it, I can guarantee you a person couldn't hijack a plane now with a box cutter because people are resisting it. And I've often thought that if some thug was to meet me out here with a knife and say, give me your money or else, I'd say, look, I was trained how to kill a person with my bare hands in Vietnam. And I'm not sure if I can still do it, but do you want to take the chance for my 20 bucks? I guarantee you, I'd fight a person to the death for my 20 bucks. And some people think, well, it's not worth it. It is worth it. I am just not going to help evil exist. I hate evil. I am not going to roll over and let things do. And you know what? I believe that that's a godly attitude. I could get off and defend that and do different things. People say, well, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. There's a difference when you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. You don't resist a spiritual force with physical force.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on lessons from Deuteronomy 2:24. This teaching series was recorded at our 2011 New England Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM246 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The 5th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the 5th teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to go visit our website. It's www.awmi.net. And I tell you, I think it's one of the best websites available. And on this website, you can do all kinds of things. You could review your giving and things. Plus, there are hundreds of my teachings that you can get free downloads, thousands of my television programs available, thousands of our radio programs available. There's news updates about what's happening through our Bible college students and graduates worldwide. And I tell you, it is just a tremendous place. Plus, I review the guest book nearly daily, and I would love to hear comments. So it's awmi.net.